Okay, page Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, 9 lines from the end of the page. Okay, it says, Amid Rabbi Yitzchak said, Kol ha'eved aveira b'seiser. Whoever transgresses a sin in private, kilo deichek ragle ha'shchun, as he pushes off the feet of the Shechina. It's like you push God away. Shenama, because it says in the Pasuk, Koyamar Hashem, so Hashem said, Hashemayim kisi, the heaven is my chair, meaning my throne. Va'aretz adem ragloi, and the earth is my footstool. And therefore, when you sin, it's like you're getting, pushing Hashem away, because Hashem's feet are on the earth, and you're going against Hashem, so it's like you're pushing him away. Amr B'Shua Ben Levi, 31A1, first column, closer to the bottom. Amr B'Shua Ben Levi, Asi la'odom shi'alech abak amis bekaimis kufa. A person is not allowed to walk 4 cubits with his head up in the air, as if, you know, I own the world. Shenama, because it says, Mole chol ha'aretz kveidei, the whole world is full of God's glory. So therefore, it's like you're pushing as if to say, Hashem's not here, only I'm here. So that's also no good. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna the son of Rav Yeshua said, Le'mazge arba amas begilu rosh. A person should not go 4 amas, 6 feet, without a head covering. Why? He never went. This person himself, Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua, never went 4 amas without a kippah. Why? Shechina lemaila mereishi. He says God is above my head, the divine prophet. So the Yarmulke reminds us that there's something above our head, which is Hashem.
Separation?
No, on the contrary, to remind us that something is on top of us. That Hashem is on top of our heads. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Shual ben Almona Achas is Rabbi Eliezer. A widow, the son of a widow, asked Rabbi Eliezer the following Shiloh. Now he thought he was going to trick Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, he asked him not a theoretical question, he asked him a practical halacha question. Abba Amar Ashkini Mayim, if my father says to me, give me a cup of water. V'imi Amar Ashkini Mayim, and my mother said, give me a cup of water.
At the same time.
Yeah, Eiz Mehem Koidim, which is first. Do you bring the mother first, or do you bring the father first? Amar Leiser, he answered, Hanach Kveid Imcha, Vasei Kveid Avicha. Forget the mother for a minute and do the father. Why? Sha'ata v'imcha chayavim b'chved avicha. Because you and your mother are also obligated to serve the father. So therefore, he said, you've served the father first.
Because this is a
mefarnes? No, because when a woman gets married, apidin, she has to honor the husband. Ba'lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. So the same kid asked, after he asked Rabbi Eliezer the Shaila, he came to Rabbi Yeshua. And he asked the same question. No, I mean, he didn't ask the same question. Amalei, he said to him, Rabbi, now that he was told that the father comes before the mother, okay? So now the kid asked the Shaila, what happens if they get divorced? Which one comes first? Amalei, so he said to him, Mi bein risei einecha, from between your eyelashes, nikir, it's noticeable, sheben almona ata, that you're a son of a widow, that you don't have a father. In other words, he said to him, what are you hacking me a chinik? If your parents are divorced, you don't have a father, so what are you asking me? Yeah. You don't have a father, so what are you asking me? And he said he was able to tell from his eyelashes that he was a widow. So Rashi explains, the kid cried so much that the eyelashes thinned out. So he looked at the kid, he knew right away he was an orphan. So Amalei, he said, Mi ben risi enecho, from your eyelashes, it's noticeable, sheben amonat, that you're a son of a widow. Hatalahemayim bisval, he says, you know what to do if they're divorced? He didn't answer the question, well, he answered the question. Let me get this in. He said, take a pitcher of water for them. In other words, coo them as if they were roosters. But it means, what it means is that they're equal obligations. Okay? In other words, he answered him, as the Mashal explains, he answered him in a like chutzpidik way, because he said you asked a chutzpidik question. It's an unrealistic question. You don't have a father. What are you asking me about the divorce for?
Right, still
yeah, but he wasn't asking it to learn. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't asking in learning. He's asking, I have such a personal shayla. So Rabbi Eliezer answered him, maybe. Father comes first. Came to Rabbi Yeshua, what happens if they're divorced? So he already knew something was funny. But by the way, because of this Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch it says, that once the parents are divorced, you can listen to either one of them both equal. While they're still married, you have to respect the father first, because the mother also has to listen to the father. Once they're divorced, then they're both equal. And you do whichever one you want.
Is the Shulchan Aruch talks about who gets custody?
No. Yeah, it does.
Woman?
Huh? Under six, this is what Torah says. Under six, kids go to the mother. After six, boys go to the father, girls go to the mother. That's the custody in Torah. But it's not realistic in today's world because we live in a different court system. But that's the halacha.
For Jewish law, what is Jewish? They say, okay, so the parents get divorced. So they go, but they don't go by the base incest, they go by the witness.
No, today Bezdin themselves say you're ready to do what the courts do, because only the courts can enforce it. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Dardash Ula Rabba Apischa de Beinisya. Ula the greater, because there are a few Ulas. Says the great Ula learned at the entrance of the house of the Nasi. He said, what does it say in the Pasuk? There's a Pasuk in Tilim that says, Yaduch Hashem Komach Yoretz, all the kings of the world will acknowledge you, Hashem. Why? Ki Shamru Imrei Ficha. Because they heard the statements of your mouth. David HaMelech says, all the Goyish kings are going to honor you, God, because they heard the sayings, plural, of your mouth. He says, it doesn't say, Maimer Picha Leinemar. It doesn't say individual saying of your mouth. Imrei Ficha, the sayings of your mouth. What does it mean? Sounds like this. B'shal Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, and Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yihyeh Lecha, I am God, you God, you should not have any other gods. Amru Umisa'ilim, so all the Goyim said, you know, Lechveid Atzmehu Deirish, God's only into himself. I am God, your God, don't have any other gods. He said, this God is into himself. When he said, Kabed Esavicha Vesimecha, when Hashem said in the fourth one, Kabed Esavicha Vesimecha, Chazru Vahedul Maimaris Rishenis, they agreed that the first ones are also good. Why? Because he says, if Hashem says you have to honor your father and mother, why? Because they bring you into the world. So Hashem, for sure, you need to honor. So they understood what the reason, and that's why it says Imrei Ficha. They praise God for the sayings for all of the Ten Commandments, because the bottom line is, once Hashem said Kabed Zavicha V'Simecha, then they understood that all of them are true. Rava Amar Rava says another pasuk. Mihacha, they learn it from a different pasuk. It says, Reish Devar Ha'emes. Okay, we say this before Tkiya Shefer. The beginning of your words are true. It's also a Pasuk in Tilim. So the Gemara says, Reish Devar Ha'emes, save Devar Ha'emes. It's a funny statement. You tell God, you know, the first things you say are true, which means the last things are not true. Like the Gemara asks, what does the Pasuk mean? Alami save Devar Ha'emes Nikad, Shereish Devar Ha'emes. So from the last one, meaning honor your father and mother, the Goyim realize that the first ones are also true. That you need to honor Hashem. Okay, now the Gemara starts with what's called the Gemara of Kabed Esavicha V'Simecha. Honor your father and mother. So
why did we say this before blowing the shofar?
Because the Olam called Mishpat Tzidkecha is Mishpat Tzidkecha of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment.
12 times they say that?
12 times? No.
No, that's something that's... No,
we don't do that stuff. We say Psukim Kras Satan. But only once. Okay, Gemara says like this. Bar Minei Merav Ula. People ask the question for Navolu. Had heichen kibud avahe. How far does the mitzvah of honoring one parents go? How far does it go? You know, how much do you have to keep the mitzvah? So Amalami said to them, "Suvidu ma'asa evdi kachovim echad ba'ashkelon." You want to know? I'll tell you. Look at this guy in Ashkelon, whose name was Dama ben Nesina Shmei. His name was Dama ben Nesina. Obviously. We'll see from the Gemara how great he was. He was a guy, but the Gemara is talking about him. And the Gemara says he's an example of what Kibud Av Va'Em is all about. So he says there was this guy by the name of Domer ben Nesina. Pam'achas bikshu chachomim prakimatya. One time the chachomim wanted to do business. In the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to explain what the business was. And they offered him shishim ribu ischar. 600,000 gold dinars for profit. It's a big deal. Can you imagine? Vayimavteach munach tachas marashes of shalom. But the key to the chest was under his father's pillow and the father was sleeping. Vulaitziarei, and he didn't disturb his father's sleep. Can you imagine what the kids today would do? Throw him out of the bed in the bed and for much less than 600,000 gold dinars.
And he was a goy too.
He was a goy. The Gemara is not done yet. So the Gemara explains now, in the Mepharshim, it's a link to the previous Gemara, what was the case. So Amir Avira Meshmul, Shalos Rabbi Eliezer, they asked the same question to Rabbi Eliezer. Arheichen Kibur Avayim, how far does Kibur Avayim go? Amar Lahem, look at this guy he did to his father in Ashkelon, V'dama ben Asina Shmei. Bikshu chachamim avonim le'efid. What was the business? The way the Mepharshim explained, this was the business. They needed a stone for the Kohen Gadol's breastplate, for the Efid and the Choshen. And he had the stones. B'shishim ribu ischad. A price of 600,000 golden dinars, and Rav Kahana said it was 800,000.
Just the profit.
Just the profit. Okay? Now, it was, they say it was like this. In Chumash, we learned that in Tetzave, the Eifer was the apron that was connected to the Chesh with two precious stones. And Chacham needed the stones, and he had them. So they offered him 800,000 golden coin profit or 600,000?
Was it the diamonds? Or?
Yeah. Now, Vayimavteach munuch tachas merashes of shaloviv. And it was under the father's pillow when he was sleeping. Valeit siyare. And Domer ben Nesina did not wake up his father. So he lost all that money.
Couldn't they?
One minute. Lashana acheres next year, Hashem rewarded him. What did Hashem give him? Nazan the Kodesh Baruch Hu Schor Hashem rewarded him. Shanil Dalei Pora Aduma Be'edri. A Pora Aduma was born. Now, Pora Aduma, as Rambam writes, was only 9 times in history. Okay? So you can imagine, because of Pora Aduma, no black hairs, just red, you know, solid red. The 10th one. Yeah. That's what Mashiach is doing. Now, for this Pora Aduma, they needed it. They were willing to pay any amount of money in the world. Any amount of money. Hashem blessed this guy with a Pora Aduma. But listen, Nichnasu Chachmi Yisrael Etzlei, the Chachamim came to buy the Pora Aduma from him. Amalam, so he said to the Chachamim, listen, Yedei Ani Bacham, I know, Shimani mevakish mikem komamen shebeilam atem neistimli. If I would ask you for any amount of money in the world, you'd give it to me. But you know what? Give me the $600,000 that I lost. He could have gotten millions and millions. He was a nice guy. He says, I know he understood that Hashem rewarded him for not waking up his father. So what did he do? He said to them, just give me the profit that I lost. Only thing I'm asking from you is, the amount of money that I lost because I didn't wake up my father. Rav Chanina said, if a guy who is not obligated in kibbut avaim, it's not a mitzvah for a guy. Look what he got rewarded. Mitzvah va'isa. We are commanded to do it and do it. Al achas kama v'kama. How much more so will we get reward? The Amr Rav Chanina, because Rav Chanina said, Godol mitzvah va'isa, one who's commanded to do it gets more reward mimi she'ena mitzvah va'isa, from somebody who's not commanded and does it. Oh, you came in the perfect time about honoring your parents. Perfect Gemara. Let's bring all the kids in here. All the teenagers. All the teenagers. Okay. But the Mefarshim, it's a very interesting thing. The world asks a question. Dhamma ben Asina didn't wake up his father. Right? He could have gotten 600,000 gold, 800,000 gold. He didn't wake up his father. Because of that, Hashem rewarded him. But there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Kibbut Avaim, like it says, what happens if it's Shabbos afternoon, or any day, okay? And your father's sleeping, and it comes time for Mincha, and you know your father doesn't want to miss Mincha, it says in Aruch, you're allowed to wake him up, because that's what he wants. He would want you to wake him up. Meaning, if you know the father would want you to wake him up, then you could wake him up. There's no question that the father wanted to be woken up for such a business deal. Right?
So,
according to Allah, if you think about it, Damar ben Asina was allowed to wake up his father. So why didn't he?
Why allowed? Because of money?
No, because the father would definitely want that much profit. It's a good business deal. Right? I don't know if he was the businessman, the father was the businessman, but the bottom line is, which father doesn't want his kid to make 600, 800,000 golden coins? Profit? Profit! So why wasn't he allowed to wake him up?
But wasn't it the family business, the stone?
It doesn't matter, but could you imagine the father would definitely be agreed to wake up for it. So they say, from here you see, that the father taught his child that there's things more important than money. This is the opposite side of the coin. The uniqueness of the story is the father taught his kid that there's things more important than money. But the truth is, Poskim, right? Alpidin Damar ben Nesina could have waken up, could have woken his father up.
Can we have a background about what period of time are you talking about, and what kind of goyim were living in Ashkelon?
You're talking about the time of the Beis Hamikdash, right after.
Second one,
yeah, sure.
So what type of goyim were they?
One or two? Which one? No one knows.
Huh?
Which one?
Second
Beis Hamikdash, sure.
Because they want to buy the
gold for what
the
type of
coin
were they living there? Who were they?
Goyim. Goyim always lived in that throw. Sometimes around the Jewish world, sometimes they weren't.
If you know your father, you make him happy when you wake him up.
Then you're allowed to.
So for money, for everything. Maybe for
right, but the Dhamma ben Asin, his father taught him that there's more important things than money.
Goy Shechast.
No, but you see from the Gemara another interesting thing that you see clearly, that a guy is not obligated in Kibbut Avaim. What does he say? What if a guy who's not obligated in Kibbut Avaim, a Jew who's obligated for sure is? But now the Gemara is going into the next paragraph, so to speak, about what the Gemara just said, a statement. The Gemara said, Rav Chanina said a statement that one who is obligated to do a mitzvah and does it is greater than one who's not obligated to do it and does it. That means, even though seemingly a volunteer is more valuable than a paid worker, but in Torah the Gemara says, if you're commanded to do a mitzvah and you do it, it's much better than one who's not commanded. And we're going to see in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef. The Gemara says like this. Rav Yosef said, now Rav Yosef was blind. Rav Yosef and the Gemara couldn't see. And there's an argument, just to preface it, there's an argument in the Gemara if a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs or not. Cheresh Shaita V'Katan, deaf mute, they can't hear or speak, retarded. I mean, not what we say you're retarded. I mean, you know, halachically retarded. And the kid is not obligated in mitzvahs.
Handicapped.
Yeah, no. It depends what they be handicapped. Not every handicapped is fit for mitzvahs.
Incompetent.
Mentally incompetent. Yeah. Now, blind person is two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person does not have to keep mitzvahs. The Chachamim hold blind people do have to keep mitzvahs. Okay? So Rav Yosef initially thought, whoever, he said like this, whoever tells me the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person does not have to keep mitzvahs, I'm going to throw a party. Why? Because look how great I am. I don't have to do it, and I do it anyway. Then he found out what we just said, that a person who's commanded and does it is greater than one who's not commanded and does it. So he said, well, now the opposite. Whoever will tell me that Allah is like the Chachamim, that a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs, I'm going to throw him a party. Now, obviously, the halacha is like the Chachamim anyway. When there's an argument, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the halacha is like the majority opinion. So a blind person anyway is obligated in mitzvah. But Rabbi Yosef said it in a way that, even though he knew the halacha is that a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs, but he said, in theory, he said, right, if you're not obligated, he didn't know that what Rabbi Chanina said. He thought, if you're not obligated and you do it, you're better than one who is obligated and does it.
Obligated is different than commanded.
No, same.
Commanded, except the guy is blind and he's exempt.
That means he's not commanded. Now, I mean, bottom line, if you're not obligated, then you're not commanded as that individual to do it.
If you are thirsty, okay, don't say anybody bring you water. If somebody bring you water for you, well, is not more valuable for you? Is not more value?
Yeah, but not when it comes to Hashem. And we'll soon see. Let's see it inside, then I'll explain why. What's the logic why somebody who's obligated is greater than one who's not obligated? When logic says it should be the opposite way.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, Amar Rav Yosef said like this. Keep in mind, he was blind. Initially, I used to say, Man da hava omer li halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. That whoever would tell me that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Summa potim in a mitzvah, a blind person is not obligated to mitzvahs, Avdini yama tavel rabban, I would throw a party. Why? Because the holy mifkid, look how great I am. I'm not obligated to do it, then I do it anyway. You see how great I am? Hashtag the Shamina Leilahad Rab Chanina. Now that I heard what Rab Chanina says, that God of mitzvah va'isar, one is obligated to do it, is greater than one who is not obligated to do it. Adrabi says, on the contrary, whoever will tell me that Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but on the contrary, a blind person is obligated to do mitzvahs, I'm going to throw a Yom Tov for the Chacham. This is what he said. Now, Taisus over here explains, the fourth Taisus on the left, Taisus says, why is a person who is obligated greater than one who's not? He said, because a person who's obligated is always nervous, maybe I won't do the mitzvah. You know, the pressure is on him much more. A person who's not obligated to do a mitzvah, he said, listen, it's like bread in a basket. When I want to do it, I'll do it. I don't want to do it, I have no pressure. So pressure can make a person crazy. Okay, that's what Taisus says. Other Mefarshim say, and this is also brought down in Chassidus, that the reason why you're commanded to do it is greater than one who's not commanded is a very simple reason. If you're not commanded to do a mitzvah, right, you don't have to do it. The Eitzah Hara is not going to come to you and say, don't do it, because you don't have to do it. Right? So the Eitzah Hara doesn't start up with you. But if you're commanded to do it, that's when the Yetzer Hara comes and starts to work and says, hey, don't do it. Right? So then you got to fight the Yetzer Hara. If you're not obligated to do it, I'll give you a simple example. Kids, before Bar Mitzvah, they all want to fast. Yom Kippur, they all want to fast. All of a sudden, you become Bar Mitzvah, I don't want to fast him, I got a headache. Yeah? What? It's kids, you see this very, as kids, they all want to fast. Yeah? All of a sudden, they have to do it. I'd rather not do it. You know, they're all excited to do something. As soon as you have to do it, no, I don't want to do it anymore. Right? What's the inyan? The inyan is because then the Yetzer Hara starts up with you. If you're not obligated to do it, why should the Yetzer Hara waste his time with you? You don't have to do it anyway. Go to somebody else. So there's no battle against the Yetzer Hara. But once you have to do it, the Yetzer Hara starts up with you, so the battle is greater.
Give the example of a foot soldier who was in command to do something and he goes beyond Call of Duty and he does something that he wasn't commanded.
Did he get the reward?
And he wins the war or something. And
That's a true analogy also.
He would get court-martialed for doing something that he
No, the story, what you're saying is correct. The thing is a scenario. An officer was told by the general to do something in battle. He did not listen.
You go over.
And because he didn't listen, they won the war. If he would have listened to the general, they would have lost the war. Because he didn't listen, they won the war. So now the question is, what do you do to the soldier? So in the laws of court of war, you court-martial him. The question is, he won the war. The answer is, it's not his job. The soldier's job is not to win the war. The soldier's job is to listen to the commander. Listen to the general. You don't listen, you get punished. You were hit, you won the war, that's not your business. Your business is not to win the war. Your business is to listen to what the commander in chief tells you to do.
But that is a rule that one would rarely see applied. I mean, for sure, the disobedient soldier would be subject to court martial. But if his disobedience led to a victory,
not in today's armies, maybe not in the Tsar's armies or Napoleon's army, or those they would still not listen, or kings.
Well, as you say, in the contemporary world,
they make everybody a hero.
Still gets court martial.
No, Ariel Sharon in 73, for example, disobeyed the orders that he was under, but he was successful.
I said, this is not the... Because today we don't have presidents and generals like in the olden times.
So this law is not... not
which law?
Yeah, if you obligated...
No, this is the law today. If you're obligated to do something, you get more sechar. So this is what the Gemara is saying. Look at this guy who wasn't obligated in the mitzvah, and look at his reward. So we are obligated in the mitzvah. You can imagine what our reward is. That's what the Gemara is bringing out. So you can imagine how much reward we're going to get. Right. And then the Gemara tells another story. He also said, Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told another story with this Doma ben Nesina. So far we learned the story that they wanted to do business and, you know, the key was under his father's Yushami, Taisus brings up, says it was under his foot or under his head, whatever. So like this. Pam Achas, one time, it seems that this Doma ben Nesina was a very wealthy, prominent guy. Okay? One time he was sitting, Surukin Shalzov, dressed in a gold embroidered silk cloak. He was sitting amongst the nobles of Rome. the Zomer ben Asina was sitting, can you imagine, amongst the kings and nobles of Rome. Ubasa Ime, his mother came in, Karati Mimena, she ripped it off him. His mother was crazy. She came into the room, she ripped his clothing off him, Topchalera, she hit him on the head, Vyarkole Bafana spit in his face, Lehichlime didn't answer her. He didn't say a word. He didn't embarrass her. He didn't shame her.
We learned this in another Gemara. I feel like we learned it somewhere else.
No, it's not in any other Gemara. We learned it, I don't know, because we were once learning in Halach about Damim in Kitzur Shchanoch, the Mitzvah Kibbut Av Va'Em. So over there they bring down a number of these stories. And he didn't embarrass his mother. Okay, so you see, so the Gemara, it's interesting, Gemara is saying a positive story and a negative story, so to speak. Mm-hmm. He didn't embarrass her, and he just accepted what she did. By the way, even though it's a story in the Gemara about Dama ben Nasina, a goy, but in Shunar, they bring this down all la halacha. That if you're sitting and your mother comes in and she spits in your face, and shouldn't say a word.
Wow. She's crazy
also. Yeah. I don't think a normal mother would do this. I hope not. And then the Gemara says like this. Tana Avdimi B'reid Rababu. Avimi, the son of Rababu, said, Yash Ma'achol Ove Pisyoni. Pisyoni is Pisyen birds. It was a fatty bird, which is an ultimate delicacy. So Gemara says like this. You can have a son that feeds his father delicacies, yet tardei min ha'elam. This can destroy you from the world. You can get punished for it. Ve'yash matchina berechayim. And sometimes you can have, you make your father use the grind the mill, you know. U'meviyo l'chaya elam abo. And it brings him to the world to come. Okay? So Rashi over here, and the top Rashi, brings down a story in Yerushalmi. Okay? It says in Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi is explaining this story over here. There was Taka's story, the one time a son was giving his father his delicacies. And the father said to him, where do you have all this money from to buy it? He said, shut up and just eat.
Whoa.
Or he said, okay, I'll read in the English, I just said it a little bit stronger. Once the father asked the son, how could he afford to do so? The son answered, old man, what do you care? Chew and eat. He says, be quiet. Just be happy I'm feeding you and let's go do it. Another man who worked at a mill had an elderly father. Okay? Because the second story is, you can make your father work in the mill and you go to Olam Abba. What happened? The son told his aging parent, father, you work here in the millstone, and I shall go in your stead in the king's service, which is of intermediate duration. In other words, they called the father to come work for the king. So the son said to the father, you know what? You stay here by the mill, and I'll go instead of you to the king. So this son made his father work. Right? That son gave his father food.
Expensive
delicacies. But this one told this negative statement to the father, he goes to punishment. And this son that made his father work, but for the sake that he shouldn't have to do something worse, so he goes to Olam Haba. Because he did it in a positive way. Then the Gemara gives how Avimi honored his father.
Found him.
Oh, it took you a long time to find him. Class started at 8:20, by the way.
What time?
8:20.
We got a note.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Amir Ababu. Kainavimi Bri. Ababu says like this. You want to know, give you a person who does really good, keep it away. My son Avimi. What did he do? Chami Shebani Samcha Havale Avimi Bechayov. Avimi, now it goes like this. There was a grandfather, Rababu, and a son, Avimi. And Avimi had five sons, all of them were scholars. Big Talmid HaChacham. When Rababu came calling at the door, so instead of the son telling his kids to go take care of the father, he ran himself. Ravim himself ran and opened the door, and he says, "Ein, ein, yes, yes, I'm opening until he got there." Yemachad, Amalei Ashken Maya. One day, this is Rabbi Abu is telling the story about how great his son is. Usually the mothers do that, but here the father did. The father said to his son, "Bring me a cup of water, I'm thirsty." So the son went. At the Isolay, when he came back with a cup of water, the father fell asleep. What did he do? Gochen koin alai. He bent down and waited until his father woke up and then gave him the water.
Did he take a long time to bring the water? That's why he's that fell asleep.
By the way, they didn't have sinks in those days. They had to go down to the river, to the well. I mean, it wasn't today you go to the kitchen sink and you're back. Huh? So the Gemara says, Istoyai Milsa. So Hashem, while he was waiting, because his father fell asleep, he's sitting there with a cup of water. It says, Avimi learnt a thing in Mizmar Liosuf. There's a parak in Tillim, right, called Mizmar Liosuf. Now, what does it mean? He was able, Hashem rewarded him because he was waiting for his father doing a mitzvah. Hashem inspired him the interpretation of that parak of Tehillim. Okay? Now, Rashi says there's another thing over here. Because it says that the Mizmar Liosuf, parak Ayin Tes, 79 in Tillim, talks about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, well, how could it say Mizmar Liosuf, a song? It should be a lamentation of a kina of Asaf. It's discussing the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So why is it talking about a Mizmar, a song, you know, for Asaf if it's a... So he says, he couldn't understand it. So he says, Asaf learned it on the Shechina, that, you know why he praised Hashem? We're talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a famous Gemara that Rashi quotes over here that explains this meaning. Hashem laid out his anger at a building rather than at the Jewish people. In other words, the parak of Tillim is just talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's Tillim before even the first one, but they foresaw it's going to be destroyed. So the Gemara asks, why are you telling me a praise, a song for the destruction? It should be a lamentation for the destruction. A kina. So he says, because we're thanking God that he let out his anger at a building rather than at the Jewish people. Like it says in the Mefarshim, the Midrashim, say an interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Right? He davened 515 tefillahs. Veschanan. Okay, the Medrash says he died in 515 prayers that Hashem should let him go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, "You're not going in." Beginning Veschanan, Al Teisav Daver Li Oy Bedaver Azeh. Stop it! I'm not answering you. You're not going in. So the Mefarshim ask, Moshe Rabbeinu did tshuva. He davened 515 times. You can imagine how holy the davening. Why didn't Hashem let him go in? Come on, be a nice guy. Let the man in.
Because he didn't daven 516 times.
No, because he probably davened too early in the day. So it says in the Medrash, and the Mefarshim elaborate on this, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a rule that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu made was never able to be destroyed. Maisi de Meshe Nitzchim, the Medrash says. Whatever Meshe Rabbeinu made was forever.
Was he supposed to be?
One second. So if Meshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews would misbehave, so Hashem wouldn't be able to destroy the building. Who would he have to destroy? The people. It's like this, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go in. Somebody else built the building. Hashem said, okay, I'm angry at you, goodbye building, but I'm not destroying you. No, he wasn't on a donkey.
Yeah,
we didn't go to Vegas, Reno.
Mishkan?
Mishkan's still existing, it's buried. The Mishkan was never destroyed. Not the Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made. The Mishkan Shiloh that the people built was destroyed. It's buried and we don't know where. Yeah, everything.
Someone will find it at
the
garage.
No, it's underneath the Beit HaMikdash.
Are you sure?
Never.
And the Arabs haven't found it yet
on the it's all the way down. No, the Hashem doesn't want it to be found. It's not going to be found.
We know that it's right in that place.
The Rambam says where it's buried.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's in Vatican. Steal it.
The menorah, not the shul.
No, it's not in
so it's not in Ethiopia.
It's in the Vatican.
I saw a documentary. A scientist spent 25 years of his life. To find out what happened to the Mishkan and to the Ark. And his conclusion after 25 years of his life, but they were buried under the Tanakh, which is in the Gemara.
Yeah, he wasted all his time.
He was Jewish.
Then the Rambam.
First he took him to Ethiopia, then Queen of Sheba took it there. First time.
Anyway, so... So what? So the Rashi explains a different way of learning the Gemara, that while he was waiting with a cup of water for his father to drink, Hashem inspired him to figure out the answer to the question, why is it called a praise instead of a lamentation, because of that aspect. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amale Rav Yaakov bar Abu Abaye. He says like this. Rav Yaakov bar Abu said to Abaye, Kugein ano ad asinim ibei Rav. When I come home from yeshiva, my parents are so excited to see me. My father gives me a cup of water, and my mother mixes the wine with the water together. What should I do? In other words, who should he accept from? Okay? Or, is he, by accepting it other for them, working for him, is that disrespect? That was his shaila. Amalei Abaye said to him like this, Mi'imach kibul, from your mother accept, but not from your father. Okay? Meaning, Abaye told him like this, your mother, Yiddish Mama, you know, she would feel good by you accepting it, so accept it. Because that's honoring her, you're making her feel good. Your father, don't. Why? Kivin devarteiru, because your father is a scholar. Chol shadaiti, he will become upset if you let him serve you. Because he's wasting time from learning.
To refuse it is also...
No, but he said, what he told him is your father really wants you to refuse it. That he shouldn't... the mother would be happy if you do it, and the father wouldn't be so happy. That's what he told him. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Reb Tarfin, Havale Ima, he had his elderly mother. The Chalheima Dava Boyle Mesik Lapurya. Whenever she needed to climb into bed, she was an old lady. Doesn't say old, but she was old. And she couldn't get into the bed. So what did he do? Gochin Visolakle, he bent down that she should climb on top of him to get into the bed. Maybe she was on maybe it was a bunk bed. Anyway, he bent down that she should climb, step on him, like a step stool to get into the bed. And then she'd be able to go down on him to reach the floor. So what happens? Also, become Mishtabach Bei Midrash. Rav Tarfin came to the base manager and said, you see, look how much I honor my mother. So the rabbi said to him, you didn't even come to half the amount that you have to honor her. You think you did it? You didn't even come to half of it. Why? Tell me, did your mother ever throw your money with all your wallet with all your money into the ocean? Like the other dumb of in the sea, and you didn't shame her? Did that ever happen? Until that happens, you're not doing the kibbut avim properly. Rav Yosef, Kavashama Kalkari Dime. The Gemara just telling stories about the tzaddikim of the Gemara, how they honored their parents. You listen? Listen how they honored their parents. Rav Yosef, when he heard the footsteps of his mother coming, Amar, he said, Eikam Mikama Shechina Da'asya. Let me stand before the divine presence. And as he likened his mother, Tashem, and he stood up.
This is the blind Rav Yosef?
Yes. But that's what it says he heard. He heard, he didn't see, he heard her come because he was blind. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, this is a very powerful Gemara, but very strange. Rabbi Yochanan said, Asherei mi shelech hamon, fortunate is the one that never saw their parents. Wow. Why? And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Ki ava ibarte imei meis aviv. The Gemara says Rabbi Yechim was a doubled orphan from birth. When his mother was pregnant, his father died. Yiladito, when Rabbi Yechim was born, meisa imei. His mother, and the Gemara says, v'chein Abaya. Abaya never saw his parents. Rabbi Yechim's father died when his mother was pregnant with him. And as soon as he was born, the mother died in childbirth. So, and the Gemara says the same thing, Abaya. In fact, Abaya says in Sfarim is an acronym for Asher Becha Yerucham Yosim. Aleph Beis Yud Yud is a pasuk Asher Becha Yerucham Yosim. In you, the orphan will be comforted. So Abaya was a doubled orphan. So Rabbi Yechanan said like this. What the Mefarshim explained, what's Rabbi Yechanan saying? It is so hard to do the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim properly. You're only lucky if you never saw them, then you don't have that problem. Because the mitzvah, Kibud Avaim, is so difficult to do. You're only lucky if you don't have it. It's very strange, but it's very powerful. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Abaya was a double orphan? For Abaya said, used to have the expression, Amrli, my mother told me. He just got through saying that his mother died in childbirth. How could he say, my mother told me? So the Gemara says, Ahu mar binte have it. That woman that he was quoted was his nurse. She raised him. It was like a stepmother or a nurse that raised him. So he called her mother. But it wasn't, you know, that he had a mother. He didn't have a mother. Okay, just doing the next piece of Gemara. Ravasi Avaleo Imas Kena. Ravasi had his elderly mother. Amrele, she said to him, Beina Tachshitin, I want jewelry. She told her son, hey, yeah, I want some jewelry. Avidla, he made her jewelry. Beina Gavra, I want a husband. Nine aloch, so he said, you know what, I'll look for one. Beina Gavra, the Shapik of Asach, she said, I want a husband as handsome as you. A picky mother. Shavka, he left her. But Ozul added the Yisrael. He went to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And the Mefarshim explained, he saw that his mother was wacko. And he couldn't take care of her. So the din is, you just leave town. So he went to Eretz Yisrael. To leave his mother. Because he couldn't handle her. Shama de ka Ozla Basre. So he heard his mother followed him to Israel. Also came to Rabbi Yechanan. So he came to Rabbi Yechanan to ask a shayla. Mao lotzei sma ares l'chot l'sos. Can I leave Eretz Yisrael to get out of here? Can I go? Leave town. Amalei Asir. It's forbidden.
What, you're not allowed to leave Israel?
No, you're only allowed to leave Israel once you live there for certain things. So the Vasi said, Likras ima mahu, but if I go out to greet my mother, can I? So I'm going out to do a mitzvah. Amalei, any day, I don't know. Okay, in other words, like this. Normally, you're not allowed to go out of Eretz Yisrael. Only when there's two mitzvahs that says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for. Lumo Teira v'lisa Isha. To learn Teira and marry, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Again, that's what's in Shulchan Aruch. Then the Achreinim have a lot of... So he asked Rabbi Yechon Ishai like this. Can I go out? Obviously, he didn't want to run away from his mother. He wanted to go meet her. So he said, can I go out of Eretz Yisrael to meet my mother? So Gemara says, any adeya, I don't know. Israch purta, he waited a short while. Adar also, he came back to Rabbi Yechanan. Okay? In other words, he said, I don't know, right? So he let him, he gave him time to think about it. Gave him time to think about the shayla. He came back, and he says, Asai nesrata losis, you wanna go? Hamoki machzirach l'shol Hashem should return you in peace. See, there was a mix. What he said like this: Rabbi Yechanan thought that the question was, can he leave Eretz Yisrael permanently to take care of his mother? That Rabbi Yechanan said, I don't know. But the bottom line is that wasn't the real Shaila. The rest, could she go temporarily to meet his mother and come back?
So this halacha exists today too? Once you live in Israel, you can't leave?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, today's question. And let's finish the Gemara.
Wow.
Also, the comment of Rabbi Eliezer. So Ravasi came to Rabbi Eliezer. That's the same Shaila. Amalei, chas v'sholem. Oh, no, he said like this. Amalei chas v'sholim, dilma mirtach rasach, do you think Rabbi Yechon was angry at me for wanting to leave Eretz Yisrael? He felt Rabbi Yechon was angry at him for wanting to leave. Amalei my amalach, see, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, what did Rabbi Yechon tell you when he told you? He said, amoki machzirach l'sholim, may you come back in peace. Amalei, he said, no. Vim isa, the Rasach, if he would have been angry at you, he wouldn't have blessed you. In other words, Rabbi Yechanan finally said, okay, go. And he gave him a bracha. So he comes to Rabbi Eliezer, he said, you think Rabbi Yechanan was angry at me? He said, what did he tell you? He said, he gave me a bracha. So he said, if he gave you a bracha, obviously he wasn't angry. But, Mark's concluding the story. Adahachi vahachi, meanwhile, Rav Asi heard that his mother died, and they were bringing the coffin to Eretz Yisrael. Amar, he said, if I knew that she would die before I reached her, I wouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. Because for what reason? If I would go to see her is one thing, but she would die before I went, I wouldn't. Okay.